Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light. World's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Hey, you know what? It's a jerk move. You knew that was a hot button question, and we had to go really quickly.
I wanted to see your Joel face Klatt. Go red.
Oh.
How dare you?
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie, dude.
It is. It takes place at a Christmas party.
It's not.
As this texture points out, by that definition, Home Alone isn't a Christmas movie either. It's a parental negligence movie that involves the holiday season with a bunch of robbers.
You take your theory. I'll take mine.
Yeah, the McAllisters could have gone on vacation anytime.
That's right. They could have gone in the summer.
Summer vacation.
They could have left poor Kevin at home anytime.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a fun conversation, though, with Joel Klatt. And he actually did drop a bombshell. Check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. That's a big nugget that he shared about the SEC the first 4 years.
I feel like I've known that a little bit, but I knew that the SEC had to get in.
I did not hear that.
But the finances to be able to have a $16 million worth more to their conference
than
any other conference.
Not only did they get two teams in, which is double what any other conference got, then they got another share of playoff revenue on top of it. They got three teams in basically last year. All right. Always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. It's our weekend. Would you rather right now?
All right, guys.
Let's go. What do we got?
Yeah, we have five categories. We have poker after dark. Mm. We have taking a tumble.
Yep.
We have what's on your burger.
Boom.
Holiday smells in our Football Friday bonus.
Okay. Poker.
So this comes to us from Las Vegas, where a couple professional poker players made a wager with each other. One bet the other $100,000 that he couldn't stay in a completely dark room with no sense of time for 30 days. They actually negotiated a buyout after 20 days.
What?
But the question here is, would you rather have 30 days of only darkness or 30 days of only light?
Oh, so basically live in Alaska in the summer or the winter?
Essentially.
Yeah.
30 days of only light. Easy.
That's difficult. Darkness. I mean, that's essentially what it is to be blind. I mean, light.
Let there be light.
Light. But would I do that for $100,000? I don't think I would.
I would. Yeah.
There was speculation earlier this week that it could affect his long-term eyesight, so they talked about a buyout. They let him out of there for like $62,000 after 20 days.
Hmm. Oh. Wow, who knew? Who knew you'd have long-term eyesight problems with that? Okay, and if you needed darkness, close your eyes.
Very right, true.
Cam, taking a tumble, what's on your burger, holiday smells, or Football Friday bonus?
I would like smells, Bob.
Well, this comes to us from something that Dusty brought up earlier today and meshes with one we had earlier, but we learned about the Kentucky Fried Chicken log that smells like fried chicken.
It's magic.
We'd previously discussed the Jimmy Dean wrapping paper, which smells like sausage.
Again, wonderful.
Which would you rather have be the official scent of Christmas, fried chicken or seasoned Jimmy Dean sausage?
Wow. This is a slam dunk hammer for me. The smell of KFC is spectacular. Now, I'm not saying the chicken is the greatest out there, but I'm telling you, that chicken smell, it doesn't have to be just KFC. Fried chicken smell. You said fried chicken. Fried chicken. Oh, no doubt.
You know what?
With a hands down.
I went to a Cracker Barrel for the first time.
I've never been to one.
Oh.
Yeah.
They have two.
Really good.
Gualatin and in Beaverton.
Jansen Beach. Don't they have one in Jansen Beach?
Maybe they have three.
Maybe Jansen Beach.
Went to Cracker Barrel. I had the chicken fried chicken. Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy.
What the heck is a chicken fried chicken?
It's like chicken fried steak, but chicken, steak but in the middle. It's chicken.
So it's different basically fried chicken.
It's different than fried chicken because they do it like chicken fried steak.
Yeah. It was delicious. I'm going fried chicken as well.
Yeah,
especially chicken. KFC. It's got the, 11 spices?
Seven herbs and spices.
Is it 7 or 11?
11. Seven? 11.
No idea.
7-11.
I'm going sausage, though.
I think it's 11
sausage
herbs and
seasoning.
Spices.
Of course you're going sausage.
Sausage meets bagel.
secret.
Is
we
it,
had we 11? Had the former CEO come in and talk to the Rams. I've told this story before.
Oh.
He shared with his strategic ability to be teammates, and then made us all stand up and sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Wait, the head of KFC made you sing that?
One of the most awkward things I've ever
been a part of. Did you hold hands?
It was hysterical.
Was Kumbaya next?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
Yeah, he motivational speaker in the Rams team room.
Love is in the air.
Dusty, right. Taking a tumble. What's on
tumble.
Your taking a tumble? Okay, so this is a merger of two news stories. One, there was a woman who went skydiving at 102 years old. It's actually the third year she's done it on her birthday. She's now done it at 100, 101, and 102. It meets us with a story.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Of a man in West Virginia who decided to put his two toddlers in a tumble dryer. He's being charged for potential bodily injury to his children.
Oh, you don't say.
The question here is, would you rather tumble out of a plane with a parachute on or tumble in a dryer for the amount of time it would take you to skydive?
Oh, dryer. What? That's a dumb question, Buck.
Why?
That one's so easy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd rather skydive than go in the dryer for
really?
2 minutes.
You
Who's
just packing
said
your parachute?
You said skydive without a parachute.
No, with a parachute.
Oh,
like I don't even want any more.
Did he say with or without a parachute?
I don't care with or without. I'm going in the dryer.
Okay,
you're either going skydiving or going in a dryer for the amount of time you're skydiving.
How long does a skydive take?
Like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's like being in a sauna.
I want to go
being
skydiving.
In a sauna tumbling.
I'm going to go skydiving.
I have no desire to
You're
do
taking
that.
The dryer?
Big tree fall hard.
No desire to do that.
So you're going to let the dryer flip you around for a couple minutes?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I feel like I got a better chance. No way.
Yeah, I think I'm taking the skydiving.
You guys are really trustworthy.
Yeah, man.
I don't trust myself not to get severely injured in the dryer.
Severely injured or die skydiving? Which would you rather have?
Well, I'd have an instructor.
I would want to do...
Good. You could have the same ultralight, or the guy that did the glider instructor forgets to hook you up, and the guy's hanging on for dear life the entire time.
He lived.
Fantastic.
Who's packing my chute?
Yeah, who's packing your parachute?
You know the old army movies where they have the parachute already undone and they just kind of jump out of the door and go?
Yeah, who you trusting to pack your chute? That's how we always talk about football players.
A trained professional?
Who do you want pack your parachute? Who are you going to trust? It's a football thing.
So now I got to trust my quarterback to do it?
Yeah, man. Who are you going to trust? Who's going into battle with you with football?
Like
football battle. Who are you going to pack your chute with you?
Johnny Utah.
My wife folds our towels very neatly and nice. I think she would do a great job.
Anybody who worked at like a
because I get criticized. Apparently, I die because every time I fold the towels, I don't do it right.
Do you have a life insurance policy?
Yeah. Hey, wife, pack this. So yeah, did a great job. Just wadded it up and threw it in the corner.
We'll table the Football Friday. The last one, what's on your burger? This came to us from Tyler, Texas, where they found an ecstasy pill wrapped up in a little kid's burger at Sonic.
I said that yesterday. Remember?
Yeah. The question here is, would you rather unknowingly take ecstasy in your burger or get food poisoning in your burger?
Yeah, no, ecstasy.
No,
everybody,
food poisoning.
Everybody I've ever seen on ecstasy seems to be having a great time. Everybody I've ever seen with food poisoning is having a miserable time, so I'll go with the ecstasy.
The thing with the ecstasy, there's the unpredictability factor.
Yeah, I feel like I can fight through the food poisoning. That's like a good purging, you know? Sometimes you get... you know, ones and twos are going to be a little
more weight.
A little bit of, yeah, it's going to be a little explosive for a while, but I'll be okay. But the ecstasy, I don't want a chemical like that. I don't know what the heck that's going to do to me.
It's a tough one.
I saw the Rockstar movie.
Seems pretty easy to me.
Did you see movie Rockstar?
No.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Slip this under your tongue, son. This is what happens next.
Was that ecstasy or acid?
I don't care what it was. Something. That's what I feel.
You know they're not the same.
No, I don't know. Well, I know they're not the same, but I have no idea what they do to you. Either way, I feel like you're going to do something dumb.
Well, of course you are.
At least in food poisoning, I know I'm staying home and near the toilet.
Yeah. All right, that's our weekend Would You Rather. Coming up next, football Q&A. You got football questions. We've got football answers. You could win an I'm a Dusty Cam P1 t-shirt. Questions already rolling in on the Better You Today text line 55305. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305. That is the better you today text line. Football Q&A. We give away a t-shirt in the 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. hours of the show to the best football question of the day. We already gave one away, and now you have a chance to win one yourself. 55305, better you today text line. Football questions and answers. We're here to open book. Read it. This question coming in on the Better You Today text line. How can the NFL fix the issue where a non-winning team, 7-9, not only makes the playoff, but hosts a round against an 11-win team?
Oh, you just reseed. You reseed at the end of the year. Division winners don't get a home game based upon just winning your division. You would have to have one of the better records of the division winners. So if you could easily be a 9-win division one, and you could have a team like the LA Superchargers and they could have 11 wins being second in their division. You don't get that. So that would host by LA. So they want to make divisions important. And I think that's really cool. The NFL still does that. I don't think it's as big a deal because the anomalies are going to happen. 7-9 when the Seahawks did it in 2010, that's just not going to happen.
But right? What happened in that game?
The Seahawks beat the Saints. The defending Super Bowl champions, they beat them.
Yeah, this year, think of it in these terms. There is a possibility that the Steelers go 0-3 of their final three games and still win that division at 7-8-1.
Yeah.
Okay? They could be hosting the Chargers in late December.
Yeah.
Hosting the Chargers, a team from LA, and you tell me that's not a massive advantage.
Of course it's an advantage.
In Pittsburgh, in the snow, on grass.
But again, and I think that's part of the deal, is that if you win your division, they want to make it as that it is tough to win the AFC North, correct? It's a tough division. It's called the black and blue division. If you're good enough to withstand the teams and win, that's deserved of a home field playoff game. That's in the NFL's mind, that's how they work. Yeah. So
But you know what's funny, though?
Yeah.
Is that it would be... Like, there's a possibility 7-8-1 Pittsburgh hosts a 13-3 Chargers team, which beat the Steelers on the road earlier in the year. Yeah. So they would have head to head. They would have gone 13-3 in a division where the Chiefs, if they went out, they go 13-3. So there's two 13 win teams in one division, and they're on the road against a team they've already beat.
Well, I'll raise you this.
That would be crazy.
I've told this story before in 05, and sorry, in 2004 with the 2005 playoffs, I was on an 8-8 Rams team that beat the Seattle Seahawks, who won the division at 9-7. We beat them three times that year, twice in the regular season, and then Seattle hosted us for the playoffs, and we beat them in Seattle. It just happened. I mean, that's tried to beat the same team three times in one year. That's good luck with that.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. All right, Sam the Mailman, would you take an 8-team playoff if it meant the SEC decided not to participate? Yes.
Absolutely. Who cares? You can have your own championship. Congratulations.
Well, and that's one of the things, we were talking to Joel Klatt. If you missed that conversation, check it out, Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. And he was talking the SEC just wouldn't put themselves at a disadvantage, so they wouldn't participate. My whole thing is, why wouldn't the rest of the Power 5 conferences be like, okay, bye? And then... eventually, yeah, it would suck, and the SEC would throw a tissy fit and say, best team of college football is down here. Well, okay, yeah, for a year, it would mean something, but then the SEC would ultimately rejoin this thing because they would be, A, missing out on money, and B, be missing out on national championship opportunities, and they would ultimately come back. They would. They would have no choice. Yep.
They'd have to. Eventually, they'd come back to it. You just leave them on their own for a little while. They'll join back. Here's a good question. Why does it seem that teams get away from what was working in the first half to playing conservative in the second? Why go away from what works? That comes from Steve.
Chiefs.
Why do you do that? Well, what works in the first half is that you can make a couple mistakes. What works in the first quarter, you can make mistakes because simply you have time. There's a couple philosophies of football. Are you a team that likes to shorten games? Are you an offensive philosophy that likes to know that you're going to take long, sustaining drives? That's what the Seahawks do. They want to wear you out 12, 10, 14 play drives. And then the three and outs come when? In the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like what happened, you got to see it on that Monday night game when they made a couple three and outs. And you're like, oh boy, You got to hold on.
Well, they needed one first down.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, couldn't get it.
Couldn't get it. And you start to go, hold on. Whoa. Because as an offense and a coordinator, you never want to give the ball away. Because you never want to have a turnover late in the game. Because turnovers, you would rather always make the team beat you instead of hand them something. We've seen teams, how many times have you seen teams that get a little bit aggressive, get a little bit trying to, let's get a little cutesy, run a play action, do something here. Plus, you want to run the clock. Running the clock. And when everybody knows you're going to run the football late in the game, they're just loading up the box. There's 10 up there. They're going to load the box, and everyone knows you're going to do it. So that's why you got to make that team beat you.
Yeah, I concur. But you know what the worst part is to that question? Is that when you have a tempo team that tries to do something, be somebody they're not.
Mm-hmm. NFL like teams aren't like that.
When you try to turn into a ball control team because you're wanting to milk the time.
Yeah.
No, if you're an up-tempo offense, go.
That's a college quote.
Right.
That is not an NFL quote. Yeah. NFL doesn't work that way. The Patriots could be a four-minute offense where they put 22 personnel. And they could also put and get on you like tempo and 10 personnel.
Yeah.
Because they have time to prepare for all of it. Collegiately, the identities, you only have time to take one identity. Right. That's why Oregon was only, they're not, have you ever seen Oregon stall in their heydays?
Yeah.
Okay, do you see what Oklahoma does? Okay, nope. Texas.
Mike Leach.
Certain teams.
Leach does this all the
time. Mike Leach is in spread on the half-yard line. He's not going to deviate off their path. They don't put in the types of systems that NFL does where you have a red zone system. You have a third down system. You have a four-minute offensive system. You have a goal line personnel. You ever seen goal line personnel in Oregon? You ever seen goal line personnel at Washington State? No. They don't have a tight end on their roster. So NFL-wise, you can be chameleons. And that's what makes the game so great.
I believe it was the Stanford game this year where Mike Leach tried to take a little bit of time off at the end of the game, and Gardner Minshew in that offense, it looked like thoroughbreds being walked, where they looked so uncomfortable.
Easy PETA.
Having to
don't pull the reins back.
Don't want to beat a dead horse on that.
No, you don't want to do that.
But you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and NFL college offenses need to learn it. 55305 more. Of you college football questions and answers next. Plus, we need to get to the old lady that absolutely obliterated the Phoenix Suns owner. Right now, though, is Ryan Buckley with SportsCenter. All right, football Q&A. You got football questions. We got football answers. Nowadays, it seems like everyone in this young and up-and-coming genius head coach like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, with the jobs that Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, and Andy Reid are doing, is there still room in this league, and will teams still hire old coaches?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
If Bill Belichick ever gets fired, yes.
Yeah.
Same with Pete Carroll and Andy Reid.
How do you get good at coaching? You got to have time. Now, it is nice to have a young up-and-comer and a brilliant mind, but it's not like Sean McVay hasn't been in the game for, I don't know, birth? Remember, just because he's young, at 32, 33, he has been coaching since he is in high school, for gosh sakes. He's been around it. He's absorbed it. Now, some of these guys play ball, and they go to college, and they play in the NFL. Some coaches, like, I don't know, Bill Belichick, is from a coaching father who coached in the military and stuck him in rooms by himself and told him to break down third downs just to tell him where the outside rushers were. He's been around film forever. Just because you're a somebody that's a young up-and-comer doesn't mean that you haven't spent years developing your craft.
Well, we talk about how young Sean McVay is, right? Mm-hmm. He's 32 years old. Mm-hmm. Do you know, at 32 years old, how many years as a position coach in the NFL Sean McVay has? And not as director of sideline hydration.
Position coach or coordinator? Is that what you're talking
position
about?
Position coach.
Just position coach. I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, like, he's 32.
Yeah.
He's been a position coach in the National Football League for 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years. He was hired as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers coach at age 22. I mean, that is a long... Do you think of how fast you... If you're at a company for 10 years, you're working your way up,
doesn't
right?
matter if you're young or old. Doesn't matter if you're 42 and 52. Right. You would look at the same. Old is just... Age is a number. In football coaching, the guys that can adapt, the guys that can change, that are willing to change. Bill Belichick brought in Chip Kelly to help him design different kinds of offense. because they know they had to evolve. Andy Reid's having the time of his life because he finally has one of the greatest weapons in football, is that as an elite quarterback at a young age.
You know what is amazing, though, is that, like, when you think of it, to that texter's question of, you know, is there room for old guys? Yes, there's room, and teams will hire old coaches. What I think Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan have changed, though, is the retread. You know, Hugh Jackson isn't getting a job anymore in the NFL. Those are the guys that always used to, you know, the same old names would always pop up time and time again for head coaching jobs. And you're like, God, how many jobs is this guy going to get? It's not going to happen anymore because they're going to be more apt to go and get these young, innovative coaches than hire the retread. But an Andy Reid, a Pete Carroll, a Bill Belichick, Mike McCarthy is a great example of this. He will get a job.
And here's the other thing, too. Sean McVay is a son of Tim McVay, who was...
Timothy McVay.
Yeah. Pretty popular knowledge here when it states that, just like Kyle Shanahan, who was his father? Mike Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
See, they've learned from coaches. They've been around this game. This isn't just somebody that comes out of nowhere and just decides to figure out football. And it's like a Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was the ball boy for the Giants. That's how he got his start and started being like, oh, I like this guy. And then kind of learned from it. He didn't understand football until they got around it. These guys have been it from, that's why I say since birth, it's just been absorbed into their entire body. And that is a massive advantage. That's why at such a young age, they can be great at football coaching.
There is an interesting story along those lines, though. It's so rare to find the guy that is not involved in football his entire life and grew up around the game that is a head coach. But one of the guys that is kind of the anomaly, which Mario Cristobal is one of those anomalies. So is Chris Peterson, is he not? His parents weren't football coaches.
No, his father was a junior college.
Was he?
Oh, I'm sorry. His dad was the coach at a small junior college in Northern California. Yeah. He grew up around it. His father was coaching for years.
Okay, Mike Leach and Mario Cristobal, not from that, cut from that cloth. But Manny Diaz, who is very highly regarded defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Temple, do you know where he started? Mm-mm. He was a production assistant at ESPN for their NFL Live. And Shannon Sharp was doing one of their shows, and he pulled him aside, and he's like, well, you know, You're smart, you know. What do you want? He's like, I don't think TV's what I want to do. And he was like fast track on ESPN to become corporate guy, you know? And Shannon Sharp's like, well, I got a buddy who coaches at Florida State. So he started breaking down film at Florida State. Mm-hmm. Florida State's like, God, this guy's amazing. Boom. Hired him. Now he's a head coach at Temple, has been a defensive coordinator, I think, at like Mississippi State, Texas, and Miami. And now he's a head coach in the NFL. Crazy story, but those are the rare ones. Usually these guys just grow up around the game the whole time. 55305 is the Better You Today text sign. Have you seen any other ones? Oh, what did you like or dislike about bowl games? Billy wants to know.
What I loved about bowl games, what I liked about bowl games, gifts, travel, getting away from everybody, not having to sleep in a crappy dorm, nice hotel room, food all the time. Usually it was in a better place unless you go to El Paso. Which, you know, when you're a college kid, it didn't matter.
Sneak over to Juarez,
yeah, you've got a chance to go somewhere you've never been. So in college, you're like, this is awesome. We're out there. We're partying. We're having fun. We're doing all the fun things. The bad part about bowl games is I think it's way different now, but it was the practice. Practices were hellacious. Guys were hungover. I mean, it was bad. You'd run and, you know, just get the crap beat out of you because they're trying to develop all the young guys. And if you're an older player, you're like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired of taking these scout team reps. These guys are beating the crap out of us. So it was long. It extended your season. But if you were in Hawaii, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
This is, if I'm the Pac-12.
Riding around in the Jeep, pretending like you're an Islander, which you're not.
What I would do if I was the Pac-12 is I would sit down at the end of the year and I would say, how can we reward our teams? Our second best team, if they don't go to the Rose Bowl, should not be going to San Antonio. We need to send them to Hawaii. We need to send them to Vegas. We need to send them to San Diego's good for
the Bahamas.
Third place team.
That's a long trip, bro.
It's a really long trip.
Yeah, but it's the Bahamas.
But you send your teams to places that their fan bases want to go and the players want to go.
So have you ever been to San Antonio?
Well, I've been once.
All right.
It was okay. It was nice. Bad. It's beautiful.
It's better than El Paso.
It smells terrible.
It's better than El Paso.
It is better. But, okay, San Antonio, Hawaii.
Yeah, and it's also less expensive to get to San Antonio than it is to get to Hawaii.
But family vacation.
Yeah, I'm with
Players would like it.
No, I'm with you.
San Antonio, San Diego.
It's not easy because these established bowls have been around forever. These committees, the money they pay, the sponsorships, all that. Yeah. It's all revolved around
Screw
money.
Screw it. Make it better.
It doesn't have any value.
Care more. The Sheridan Hawaii Bowl needs to have value. Outrigger Canoe Club, go there. Mm-hmm. You know? Dukes.
Why don't we get a bowl game here in Portland? You go Providence Park Bowl.
Because then people would be like, Portland or Hawaii? You know?
Yeah.
Same deal.
I remember when they had the Seattle Bowl. Remember when that? Ugh.
Yeah, that was
Didn't
horrible.
Oregon lose to Wake Forest?
I think they did.
Yeah, they did. It was a bad game.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the Seattle Bowl.
Who else lost in the Seattle? Was that a one-off bowl?
I think it was a one or maybe two. I want to say
it definitely did not exceed three years. I don't think it even went that long. It might have been only two or one.
It's not a good bowl game.
You know what bowl it is, though?
What?
It turned into the bowl that the Ducks are playing in.
The Red Box Bowl.
They moved it from Seattle down to San Francisco.
A little warmer climate?
And they made it the Nut Bowl then.
Nut Bowl. What kind of Nut Bowl?
Emeralds.
There were two Seattle Bowls. The first one, Georgia Tech beat Stanford, and then the second one, Wake Forest beat Oregon.
All-time undefeated, the ACC over the Pac-12 in the Seattle Bowl.
Bleh.
R.I.P. R.I.P. All right, coming up next, an old lady eviscerates the Suns owner, Robert Sarver, and hear his hostage video. 8:44 on the Fan. All right, our winner of hour number two of Dusty and Cam's football Q&A is Jesse in Salem, which is different than P1 Jesse, who said, nowadays, it seems like everyone wants to be the new up-and-coming genius head coach like McVay or Shanahan with the jobs that Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Andy Reid are doing. Is there still room for in this league for old coaches? To that, we say yes. Good question, Jesse. Hour number two, you win.
Again, great questions, everyone. Love it.
If you missed our interview with Joel Klatt earlier in the show, you can check that out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. He actually dropped a bit of a bombshell on us when he said this.
What is not public, and I can tell you guys, is that the system, the college football playoff system, actually gave the SEC $4 million more per year to grandfather them in over the first 4 years of the college football playoff. This is the first year that it's actually an equal revenue split between all the Power Five conferences because of the college football playoff. They had to give them a concession of $16 million over 4 years just to get them involved, and they had to acquiesce to that ridiculous standard of best versus most deserving and conference champions.
That's incredible to think about.
I don't know if it's incredible, Dusty.
It is incredible.
It's typical. And there's no argument against it. There isn't.
Giving them the four other conferences buckling like that?
No, there's no argument against it because they pay more. They get more. It means more.
No,
there's more value.
Is, because you are conceding the fact that you are inferior.
Yeah.
And that is the incredible part about it, is that there are four other conferences that are going, what are you going to do?
It's not, tell them to take
a damn hike, and if you move on without them, they will come back because they're missing out on money.
I don't disagree with that, but this is a dumb thought process for us to sit here and say that every college football team should be considered equal. Okay, the Cowboys are worth $5 billion and the Browns are worth $1.4 billion because they're the Cowboys. The SEC is worth more because they're the SEC. They do it better than every other conference right now. So they are going to get paid. This was staggering in my mind because we live in this delusion that college football is supposed to be fair. Okay, the Pac-12 wants to be fair. They want to be equal. Let's make the distributions good. Let's make sure we put on polo and water polo, and let's put on soccer, and let's do all that. Nobody cares about watching that. I mean, I'm not saying anything that all of you out there aren't thinking. Other than the families of the people that nobody's watching it. Okay, the SEC's not propping soccer up. They're not. They're propping football because they know it makes and pays the bills. So when I heard that, I go, that's staggering, not surprising.
Right. You know, that's the incredible part is that they just sat there and they went,
of course,
better than us. Yeah. And God, have a backbone. So go check out that interview. The Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Hey, let's go check in on how things are doing in Phoenix after Robert Sarver, city commissioner, said Sarver has threatened to leave to Vegas or Seattle if they don't get $150 million in public funding for a new arena and practice facility. Suns owner Robert Sarver has responded to those claims and with the hostage video.
Hello, Suns fans. I hope you take a minute to listen to an important message that I want to share with you. First and foremost, the Phoenix Suns are not leaving Phoenix. I am 100% committed and have been for the last 4 years to find a solution to keep them in downtown Phoenix where they belong. I am a strong proponent, as evidenced by the term sheet that I signed last week, that we should renovate the Talking Stick Resort Arena and once again restore it to a world-class facility. In addition, it is important for the Phoenix Suns to build a first-class practice facility so the players of the Suns and the Phoenix Mercury can continue to develop. I am 100% all in keeping this team right here where we stand. And I want to make sure that that message comes across crystal clear to every one of you. Thank you.
Well, I'll venture to guess she's 85 years old. Greta Rogers, local area resident, she's having none of Robert Sarver and his BS power struggle. Listen to this old woman at the city council meeting.
Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or bought, paid for two or three key players, which make any sports team, professional sports team, successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. And you have been negotiating with this kind of person? Shame on each and all of you. And upon you, Ed, I thought your principles were higher and better than this.
Yeah, Ed!
We are not in the business of paying taxes to support private enterprise, and especially not an entertainment enterprise. They can support themselves or fail on their own lack of diligence.
She's wonderful. I love every second of that. You go get it, Greta.
Yeah, Greta Rogers.
He's so squeaks when he walks.
He's so tight. He squeaks when he walks.
She's wonderful. She just won the internet.
I love it when she gives the, especially you, Ed.
Who is Ed? The city council chair?
He's a city council member.
Yeah.
And Greta's having none of it. None of it. I love it. I love it. All right, bowl week is upon us, Mr. Cleveland. Baby.
Yes, bowl week.
Happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
You are out for the holidays.
Well, I'm not out. I'll be around.
Where?
I'll be around.
Well, not on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be on another show? What are you going to be doing?
Work.
All right, if you want Cam Cleveland's hot sports takes, I guess go to his house.
Yeah.
And you
we'll
may
have a
die.
Cup of coffee. We'll talk sports.
We'll talk sports. All right. Have a good holiday, man. I'll be back Monday with Buck, though, 6 to 9 a.m. Have a great weekend. We'll see ya.